You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Rob Ferret will be back on Monday.
Yesterday was the start of this year's Sun Prairie Sweet Corn Festival. It's an annual celebration of one of the summer's most well-known and delicious vegetables, sweet corn.
So we asked Food Friday regular Lori Skelton to come up with some sweet corn recipes. She's with us now to share what she's been working on.
And we want to hear from you on this, too. Are you excited that it is finally sweet corn season? What's your favorite way to have the summer treat? How do you usually prepare your sweet corn? People get very particular about the way that they like to cook their corn. Let us know yours. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lori Skelton is one of WPR's in-house foodies, and she joins us once a month for Food Friday. Lori, welcome back to Central Time.
And a sweet welcome back it is.
A sweet corn welcome back. Before we can start enjoying that sweet corn, we need to get some first. How would you recommend we choose a good ear or dozen ears?
First of all, drive to the Delavan Inlet and visit the sweet corn lady. This is the sweet corn I grew up with. I grew up about a mile away from the Delavan Inlet, and it started off as a woman with sweet corn in the back of her truck, and I gather she's now working with her children and her grandchildren. And yeah, it's just a lovely stand that says the sweet corn lady, because that's how we all knew her. Some of the best corn around. But if you can't get to the Delavan Inlet, you're looking for an ear that feels plump. You want the husk to be bright green. It should feel slightly damp when you're at the farmer's market. The tassels should be brown and a little bit sticky. If they're too pale or too dark, then you don't have the right ear of corn. And keep your eye out for tiny little brown holes in the husk. That's a sign of worms, and obviously you don't want wormy corn. So that's how you can pick a decent ear of corn without having to strip the husks from everything, which, I mean, it's efficient, but it does tend to get you really dirty looks at the market.
And there are a lot of different ways to prepare that corn once we've got it, and boiling is sort of your standby. You just want to eat some sweet corn quickly. You toss it in your boiling water. What are the rules for how to cook corn when you're cooking it in boiling water?
This is where things can get a little bit tricky. The old rule is, when you had corn in your backyard, you put your water on to boil, then you go pick your sweet corn and husk it and throw it in. The water should be boiling, the water should have salt in it, and usually about 10 minutes of boiling will get you decent corn. Unless you were my father, who insisted on having the oldest ears possible and boiling them to blazes. He liked having tougher corn. Whereas my current beau happens to love younger ears, boiled just briefly, or thrown on the grill. And so right here, you've got so many individual variations as to what is the proper way to cook sweet corn. I tend not to like it as tough as my dad did, but then again, I also like having a little bit of sweetness. And here again, which do you pick? Do you get your standard, older, straight yellow ear? Do you get the bicolor? Do you go all out for super sweet, pale yellow? Mm-hmm. There are so many variations these days on corn. It can be a lot of fun if you don't mind experimenting.
So we talked about boiling. You just mentioned grilling, which is really great too. But there are even other methods. There's steaming, even microwaving, roasting.
You know, I've seen the microwave corn, and I'm told it's a great way to really get your husks clean, get all of the corn silk off. I've yet to try it. We've been doing a lot of corn on the grill this summer. The season started a little early for us, and we've been throwing ears of corn on the grill in the backyard. When we go out to American Players Theater, we're even including that in our picnics right now. So I'm stuck with those two methods, and I really don't want to change.
So when you say throwing them on the grill, are you leaving them in the husk? Are you husking them first?
I husk mine first and wrap them in foil if they're going to American Players Theater. In the backyard, I'll take the first couple of layers of husk off, but just leave a little bit on, pull the silk off, and then grill them in the husk over the coals.
And what about your favorite corn accoutrements, your corn toppings? Are you a purist with just the butter and the salt, or what do you like?
I'm so much of a purist that if I know the corn is really, really sweet, sometimes I don't even put anything on it, not even salt.
Wow.
Then, too, I also like the combination of sweet and heat. And one of my favorite things to whip up for corn on the grill is butter with sriracha mixed into it.
Ooh.
You'll put sriracha on anything, though.
Not quite anything.
We know you, Lori.
But almost. But that gets into something that is an absolute delight that you can sort of mock up in Wisconsin, and that's Mexican street corn, which is corn that's been grilled in the husk, and then you strip the husk back, so that's sort of your handle. And then you slather it in either mayonnaise or Mexican crema, and you sprinkle on plenty of chili powder and a little bit of lime juice, and then the finely grated cotija cheese. And you can even get cotija cheese that's not so finely grated, that's got a texture that's more like feta. And you can make a corn salad with that and the cheese and the chili and the lime. If you aren't going to be walking around and holding your cob of corn, you can actually make a salad that's fork-friendly with the same combination.
That sounds super yummy.
It's a really nice, again, that idea of sweet and heat, and of course the dairy, your fat with your sugar is always a fun combination. So you've got it all right there.
Well, we'll talk more about cooking with corn, but can we also enjoy it raw?
It depends on what you mean by enjoy. I've actually found more animals tend to enjoy. My cat actually likes, if you actually leave some sweet corn out, she will actually snack on a raw cob of corn. I suppose you can eat it raw. I personally find that it tends to upset my stomach if I do that.
Okay.
Have you ever tried it?
Yes, actually, I was going to say I actually really like it. And what I do is I cut the kernels off of the cob raw, mix it with some cherry tomatoes that are cut in half, and put it in a vinaigrette with fresh garlic.
Oh, but you see, you're using a vinaigrette.
Yes.
And so
it is cooking it, quote unquote.
It is definitely changing some of the structure and some of the enzymes. I think for me, you know, just straight raw corn, there's something in that. Again, I really should be checking some of the science behind some of this, but there's something in it that just does not do nice things to my digestive tract.
So you guys were saying that the acid in the vinaigrette
exactly.
is like a ceviche would
exactly.
affect.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay, interesting. Well, you didn't eat a lot of raw corn for this, Lori, or prepare it. What you did was you gave us two amazing things, sweet corn ice cream and some pies with corn.
Knowing that the festival was going on this weekend, this does happen sometimes. You cook up a bunch of corn for the gang that's coming over, and everybody said, oh yeah, I want 2 or 3 ears, and then they only eat one. So you're left with all of this cooked corn. What do you do with it? Since you've got an increase in sweetness because the corn has already been cooked and it's been sitting out for a while, I started thinking about desserts, and I did come up with a pretty decent sweet corn ice cream, which I brought in to work, and 3/4 of the people who tasted it said, this is delicious. Can we make it caramel corn? And we got a bunch of suggestions going around, and if you're in the mood for caramel corn ice cream, I would suggest you try 3 things. Either make sweet corn ice cream and use caramel sauce to make a sundae. Use cinnamon and maybe a little nutmeg to give it a spiciness without adding any extra calories, or really go scone on it and sweeten it with maple syrup rather than sugar.
Hmm.
Huh. What would
so
that
you get
do?
The sweetness and the flavor.
You get the sweetness and the flavor of something, especially if you've got a smokier maple syrup. I think that would go a long way toward mimicking the flavor of caramel corn in ice cream. I didn't have a chance to try it, but corn is used in desserts throughout Latin America, and there's one from Venezuela. I think it's pronounced majarete, which is sweet corn kernels and coconut with coconut milk for a corn pudding that sounds out of this world. If anyone's made it, call in. I want to pick your brain on that.
Well, if you think about, you know, sort of your classic corn souffle, it kind of rides that line between savory and sweet.
Do you do a corn souffle with or without cornmeal in the roux.
It's been a while since I made it, but I think there may have been some cornmeal in there.
Okay. See, to me, that gets closer to an American spoon bread rather than a souffle.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, they're absolutely delicious, but there again, you're definitely going to be playing down the sweetness. The last time I made a spoon bread, I had bacon in it, so definitely staying away from the sweeter side of corn. The other thing that I made for us this week was a variation on the corn and lobster tart that Florence Fabricant had in the New York Times a little while ago. Yeah, you can get lobster in Wisconsin, but that's not something that tends to show up a lot. So I did start with good Wisconsin smoked trout. I also made a variation with crab meat, the inexpensive crab claw meat that you can get in cans. And the trout tart with sweet corn, not as eggy as a quiche. So it had more of the corn, more of the fish in it. And the smoked trout variation had a robust taste to it, but a very light texture. It would be great for dinner, while the one with crab, I think, would be the perfect centerpiece for a lunch.
They were both delicious, or at least I only tried one, but I actually am
well,
saying,
you tried one and I tried the other, and we both think that they
trout,
were delicious.
Right,
so,
yeah.
And actually, one of the interesting things that you said, Lori, was that the fish and the crab call for different herbs. And what would you pair with each?
I think the crab would go really, really well with tarragon. Lobster and tarragon was what was suggested in the original recipe. If you were going to use the smoked salmon or smoked trout or even poached salmon, there I'd go with dill. But again, the recipe that we've got up on the Central Time website and the Facebook page has got the basic recipe and some suggestions. What turned out to be really, really lovely about this recipe is that every person who tried it had a very different take on it. Some were more fans of the trout. Some were more fans of the crab. Some wanted more herbs. Some wanted less. Some wanted more heat. Some wanted less. So take this basic recipe and do your own thing with it. I think you can have a lot of fun with it.
We're talking to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about sweet corn now, and we'd like to hear from you.
What's your favorite way to prepare sweet corn? How do you incorporate sweet corn into your cooking when it's in season, which is now? And any advice on how to serve or to eat sweet corn? We're picking up our discussion about sweet corn right now with our Food Friday regular Lori Skelton. This weekend is the Sun Prairie Sweet Corn Festival.
And we want to hear from you too. What's your favorite recipe for sweet corn? How do you like to eat it? Do you throw it on the grill? Do you boil it? Have you tried microwaving it? What questions do you have about cooking with sweet corn? You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, we talked about the corn and fish and crab tarts before the break, but, you know, the kernels are the most commonly used parts of an ear of corn, but there are other parts to use as well. What do you do with the milk that comes out of the raw kernels?
Are you talking about once you've cut the kernels off the cob, putting those cobs in water and making stock? Or are you talking about actually putting kernels in with water in a blender and making corn milk?
Why don't you tell us about both?
Corn milk is actually something that's been sold as a milk substitute, usually in Asian countries for a while. You can make this as thick or as thin as you want. The general recipe is like 1 cup of water for every ear of corn. And you put water and corn kernels in a blender, blend it up, strain out the corn meat, if you will, and then use it in muffins or whatever. But this is something that can sit for a couple of days in your refrigerator, and you can also freeze it. And I know that it has a similar texture and flavor to horchata, especially if you put cinnamon and honey in it. But it's a little bit lighter, and some people say it flat out tastes better. So that's one way to do corn milk. Corn cobs as a stock is a really good idea. Once you've cut the kernels off the ears, you put your cobs in a big pot, cover them with water, and you bring them to a boil, then take it down to a simmer. You're going to need about 45 minutes to an hour to get a really decent flavor. What's nice about using corn cobs for stock is that once you've got your stock, take the cobs out, you can then reduce it and then freeze it. It takes up less space in your freezer, and then when you come time to bring it out, just reconstitute it with more water. So that's cobs that you use in other preparations. I actually love making corn husk stock. This is going to be lighter in texture. It's absolutely clear, whereas corn cob stock can be a little bit cloudy. So easy. It's clean corn husks in water, maybe a little bit of onion, maybe a little bit of salt if you want a little extra flavor. You simmer it very, very gently, and this is a lovely, clear, straight corn tasting, but lighter textured stock. If you've got just a few wild mushrooms, if you've been foraging, if you found just a few at the farmer's market, and you want to turn this into a really great starter, it's an absolute fantastic base for a wild mushroom soup. No cream, just this delicate corn stock, and if you found chanterelles or something, this is a really great way to show them off.
Interesting. Well, let's go to our callers now. We've got Michael joining us from New Berlin. Michael, hi.
Hi. I had a question about growing corn on the cob. It's one of my favorite things to do, and usually I'll be soaking it in water, but lately I've been trying to brine it in order to add a little more flavor, because I don't add butter, I don't add salt aftertaste. It's so good just grilled. And I'm wondering if there's a technique, or if brining is something I made up, or is that a useful thing?
Are you husking it completely?
No, we're keeping the husk on, soaking it in the salt water, and I'll gently squeeze the husk while it's still on the cob so that some of the salt water goes in, into the corn cob itself. And after it's soaked for a little while, you throw it on the grill that way, and there is no better way to have sweet corn in Wisconsin than grilled, in my opinion.
Okay. And you notice a difference in the taste?
I haven't yet. That's why I wonder if I'm doing something wrong, because I would think that brining would add flavor, add a little bit of saltiness without being overwhelming. And that's what I was asking about, if I'm doing it wrong. Just corn on the cob grilled is wonderful.
Absolutely.
Having to add a little bit of salt flavor by brining the water, and I don't notice anything, but I'm just looking for an expert opinion.
Well, I know brining can help with flavor when you're brining proteins. I don't know if the structure of a corn kernel is going to let that much of the salt get into it.
That's what I was thinking. There's not much permeability.
We do that at my house, though. That's how I was brought up, boiling corn. We do the same thing, parboiling it before throwing it on the grill.
Oh, okay.
We husk it, though.
There you go.
And I think maybe that lets there be a little more saturation into the cob.
And you're parboiling it. Mm-hmm. So right there, you're adding heat. That's going to change the structure right there. I don't know if it's going to do that much for you. I'd say go ahead and add the salt later. Or if you want to get really, really fancy, there are a number of flavored salts out right now. That might be something that would add a little bit more of a jazz to your corn.
Nice. Well, good luck with that, Michael. Enjoy your corn.
And I have to say, we've talked a lot about butter on corn, but being married to a Frenchman who follows more of the Mediterranean, he does really good olive oil on the corn on the cob instead of butter.
Okay. I would imagine it tastes delicious, but I know how messy it is when you butter your corn. How the heck do you keep olive oil from not getting all over your shirt?
Well, if you're asking me, I would say it's impossible, but he manages to do it. So, but yeah, it's a little different flavor profile.
Would you use a stronger, sturdier olive oil or something that's more delicate and fruity?
I think either could work. I mean, I think the one that we tend to have is a little more fruity, but I think either could work.
And Lori, just very briefly before we let you go, what about putting some herbs in your butter? Maybe some basil butter on corn.
Absolutely.
That can't be wrong.
Compound butters are always fun to have, and this is a great time of the year to start thinking about that. If you've got extra herbs in your garden, get an extra pound of butter, soften it up, make up some logs of compound butter and stash them in the freezer. But, basil with corn is, yes, so, 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 so good. And if you don't mind it, if you're talking about smoky flavors on the grill, Sage is a good one. If you've got fresh sage, you may want to husk your corn almost to complete. Stick a few leaves of sage in, then put the husk back on, throw that on the grill, and see what happens.
Well, Lori, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies. She joins us once a month for Food Friday. She was with us to talk about sweet corn just in time for the Sun Prairie Sweet Corn Festival this weekend. You can find out about the festival and Lori's corn and fish tart recipe on the Central Time Facebook page.